Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Accepting, Sarah, that I have a very strong feeling that I know exactly where you are going this afternoon. Cyril Ramaphosa's fourth anniversary as ANC leader. And I can't imagine you're going to say anything too nice.
I'm more going to reflect with sadness, and then I'm going to not say anything too nice.
Okay, go for it.
It's not exactly his fourth anniversary. It will be in just under 4 weeks' time, but hopefully we'll all be so relaxed we won't care one way or the other. And essentially it was in December 4 years ago that he became first the president of the ANC, and then a couple of months later he was president of the country. And on both times the excitement was palpable. I mean, people felt that this was going to be a real change from Jacob Zuma, and that the wasted years that involved literally turning the country into a sort of criminal repository for the ANC was going to be brought under control and would end. And the RAND strengthened, and business people in particular spoke very, very highly of him and where things were going to go. And despite the fact that the margin of his win was razor thin, as Justice Malala points out in a column, which is what I'm referring to. He says he was not intimidated. He leaked a video to his supporters that his election, quote, gives us a beachhead, close quote, to fix the ANC. Yeah. So essentially they were talking about, getting right so much of what had gone wrong under Jacob Zuma. And then Justice Malala goes on to look at the extent to which the optimism has literally evaporated 4 years later. And it's quite extraordinary if you think that his popularity was such that it carried the ANC to the position of remaining in the position of majority party in parliament in the 2019 elections, because he was distinctly more favored more highly than his party. So essentially they were going on that. And I think for the opposition, they're concerned about the fact that the ANC didn't deserve to be the majority party, but that they had literally been buoyed by Cyril Ramaphosa. And as Justice Malala points out, and I would agree with him, that not even the most diehard Ramaphosa supporter can claim that the past 4 years have fulfilled the promise of those first giddy months. He talks about some flashes of inspiration in changing the leadership and initiating reforms of the National Prosecuting Authority and SARS. But if you think about it, that's not exactly, I think inspiration's a bit strong, because those things so badly needed reform. There wasn't anything else to do then. They had to be completely revamped and reconstituted, and SARS seems to be doing fairly well, National Prosecuting Authority not so well, and that's partly because government isn't giving the authority the money it needs to do its best. Now, this is where our part ways with Justice Malala. He says, he points out that South Africa is floundering under his watch, but that he still has the opportunity to make some bold moves to save himself and his presidency and presumably his party, and that he needs to swiftly implement 3 or 4 key policies that would ignite the economy and restore business and consumer confidence. Well, as you will be unsurprised to learn, he is showing the opposite. They passed but have not, it has not been signed into law, the Black Economic Employment, Employment Equity Amendment Act, which basically puts the obligation on private sector companies to essentially follow the same set of quotas and targets that exist in the public sector. And we consider this unbelievably harmful, but that's for another program.
Is it more of an ideologue than we like to think?
Yeah, I think he's much more ideal. I think there are two problems. I think one is that he's not a man of action when action is what we want. He's still, whatever he may have done, he still needs to grab the nettle. And the other thing is that I don't think he's a man of action. I don't think he has the courage that Justice Malala says he requires to do the necessary things. And next week they're going to debate in Parliament the change to the Constitution to provide for expropriation without compensation. Now, the very policies we need to improve things in this country, to improve confidence and bringing in investment, are the opposite of those. It's relaxing a lot of the labor laws. It is making sure that people are confident that their property can be privately owned and protected. And I know that I've read repeatedly that the big bugbear for business, particularly for foreign investment, as far as investing in South Africa, is the EE. So it's like, this is what we need to do. Hang on a sec, let's do the opposite. It almost defies logic at this point.
Well, it's interesting because if you watch the money flow, and according to Biz News and Biz Tech and all those business publications, there's massive outflows of capital as we speak. It's hidden by the commodity price. So everyone's buying the commodity. So everything's looking on the surface as if it's all right. But back at the ranch, apparently money is leaving hand over fist because South Africans have got to the point where they've lost confidence in their own economy.
Absolutely. And if you're losing your internal investors, the external investors that you apparently hope for are just not going to come anywhere near here. I mean, they're predicting that South Africa could be a failed state by 2030, which might also be part of the fact that the ANC lost the majority nationally in those local elections. I think the elections were bad enough, but the coalitions that have got other parties, people into the positions of mayoralties is extraordinary. And there seems to be a very real, we certainly feel that there's a very real possibility that 2024 will be the ultimate sea change. I don't think it'll be a majority party will replace the ANC, but the ANC will fall below 50 and coalition politics will happen on the national stage.
Sorry, do you think there's anybody within the ANC who would be strong enough to be able to do things differently?
Well, judging by a comment that a retired ANC comment on my husband, the answer is no, which pretty much conforms with our view that there isn't that person. You can always be surprised. Someone who you really don't like, don't trust, and et cetera, can come out and reform. It can happen that way, and it does happen that way. But in the absence of that, there's no one obvious at all, not even unobvious, if that's a word.
Sorogon, as always, really, really interesting. I'd love to have a chat with you sometime, not today, about the definition of a failed state and at what point doesn't become a failed state. No, because I think an argument could be made that we are a failed state, not going to become one. But that's a discussion for another day. Thank you for your input this afternoon.
Pleasure.